Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Let's talk about that financial freedom concept for a second. I was thinking about this, and really what brought all this conversation that I'm going to have with you this morning together was watching these two political parties fight with each other and thinking to myself, I really don't believe that either side of this argument makes any sense. Now I'm a libertarian, so you can imagine why I don't fit into either party, that they just don't fit my personality, because I believe in some of the things one of them believe in, I believe in some of the things the other one believe in. Neither one of them really seems like they tell the truth anymore. So that kind of gets you depressed, right? So I started thinking about, well, does what I believe, does it still work? Does it make sense in our society? And I looked back at it, thought back years ago when I started doing this stuff. What was I really trying to do? And does it still make sense today? And I thought what had happened was is that I'd worked for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week for 12 years. At a health club business. I saved my money, very frugal, put it in the stock market, put it in oil wells, put it in gas wells, put it in limited partnerships, put it in everything that my stockbroker told me to put it into, because I mean, I'm working at a health club. I'm not a financial wizard. And so each time we'd put it into something, I'd research that and study it. And for whatever ungodly reason, I thought that if I studied it a little bit and I understood it a little bit better, I can make wiser decisions. But the first realization I came to was that investing in other people's businesses really gives you no control at all. And they can pull the plug on that business and take your equity right out from underneath you in a second. The second thing I realized was the people running the businesses were getting rich. The people investing in the businesses, all of the stock market, we weren't getting rich. Somebody explained it to me one time. His name was Dan Frischberg. He's a radio host. You can look him up. He said, Del, you don't understand. The stock market was not designed for investors. It was designed to raise capital so that big, rich people can own big, giant companies and do great things. It has nothing to do with the small investor putting their money in the deal. And once I heard that, it really came to me that he's right. These guys don't care about who has their money in there, whether or not they lose their life savings or fortunes in these deals. All they care about is, am I going to get rich with my big, giant investment? Am I going to hit this one? And, you know, I might lose. And they might have done or started multiple companies and failed at many of them and then hit one and got rich. And so this is a whole nother world. I'm talking about being the guy at the bottom. This is why, you know, if you think about it, Republican, Democrat, you can see where I slide over to the Democratic side a little bit. Is that they're talking about, and I don't know if they really believe they're helping the little man, but the little man is a little man. It's really the average American has nothing. We own nothing. We have no control of anything. We just get up and go to work and hope that our job's going to be there so we can get up and go to work. That's what it comes down to. So when somebody like me comes in and says, well, let's talk about retirement at an early age, it's like, what do you mean? I can't even keep a job. I'm worried about having a job, let alone quitting a job. It's a really strange, perplexing conversation. Until you break it down to what I'm really saying. What I'm saying to you is that instead of taking my money and sticking it in all these different investments these people offer me to get into their deals and get into their investments, what if I simply go get my own? And I looked at lots of different businesses. I looked at franchises, first of all, What I found to be true in the franchises is that you were paying for a name and a system, but you were the work. You literally had to buy into it, set up your own company, build your own buildings, build out your own buildings if it wasn't building the building. And you had to hire your staff and operate the business, and they took a cut off the top. Generally a fairly substantial cut off the top for being the, you know, franchisor, and you were the franchisee. And I remember going to Subway sandwich shops, going to McDonald's. You couldn't even get into a McDonald's. I mean, you had to spend $2 million and take a two-year training program just to get into McDonald's. But I looked at all these different franchises, and I came away feeling the same way. This is, you know, too much work to earn. And now, remember, I'm looking at this years ago when I started. They were earning like $35,000 a year. So if you own 10 of these, you're doing pretty good. But if you own one, you're making $35,000 a year. But the problem was, it was a lot of work to make that $35,000. Hiring and training and managing people. Generally low-end people, which are harder to hire and train and manage. And so it just didn't make sense to me. And I'm sure many of you out there have already looked at these opportunities and thought about them. How can I go start my own business? Is, you know, a pretty commonly asked question, I would believe. And then I ran into a real estate investor. And I looked at many, many different real estate investing models. Most of them were aligned with work. In other words, go locate a property, find a property you can buy for next to nothing, steal it away from somebody, then go find somebody else to sell it to, or renovate it and then find somebody else to sell it, which is work, work, and more work, you know, work finding, work renovating, and then work selling. And when you're all done, you had income that was earned income. And so again, it was just work for work for work. And one of the things I used to tell people when I first started teaching real estate was, why would you want to give up a job that you're good at, you're really educated for, and go take on a business that you're not good at and not educated for? And in many cases, people tell me, well, because I hate the job I'm in. I hate my boss. And okay, well, there you go. That makes your decision easier, doesn't it? But other people go, well, I really like my job. I go, well, then why do you want to leave your job to go do another job? That doesn't make any sense. So I was in that same boat. I had tried, you know, oh, what was the other one? The other one was like day trading stocks. That's another one you get caught up in. I mean, I've looked at all this stuff. That's why I'm so adamant about what we do. Because I looked at it, I studied it, I tried it, and it didn't work over and over again. But man, when I went out and bought my first rent house, the way I was taught to do it the right way, renovated everything. The property was almost brand new when I gave it to my tenant. Screened the tenant. Now, by the way, the first couple of tenants I didn't screen very well. But once I learned from that one eviction that you've got to extremely screen people, and I started screening them, then I found it was pretty easy to move a person in there, let them live there, and pay you money for long periods of time without it being a problem. And that's when I realized that if you put this house together correctly and there's nothing to go wrong, if everything is almost brand new or at least good enough that it won't wear out within a year or two, you've got a one-year lease. People can own real estate forever. Now, I don't want you to own it forever because eventually it wears out and it needs to be remodeled. Eventually, you know, your depreciation starts to go away. Your mortgage payments are paid off. You need to refinance and renovate the property again if you're going to keep them long-term. That has to be done on a regular basis. I got up to over 100 houses. Somebody came to me and said, it was a dentist, goes, I'll do these with you. Would you let me do these with you? So he went on with me, and we bought 11 houses together. He put up the money. Then after that, we did fourplexes, and we bought a fourplex together. And about that time, I ran into another guy who was retiring. His wife was still working. She was a doctor. So they had money. And he saw what I did with this guy and kind of referred me and said, hey, yeah, he's everything he looks like he's going to be. And so this guy put up enough money and we bought 10 houses together. Actually, it was 5 duplexes. And then we went on and bought 15 more duplexes together. So I had 40 houses with this guy. Just one guy. So, you know, they had money. They put up the money. I put up the operation. Down the road we went with these types of things. Eventually, as I had more and more properties to operate, I was making more and more money, quite a bit more money than I ever made in the health club business. And so I started putting some of the money down also. So I would take 25% ownership for putting the deal together, but I would buy another 10% of the deal or 20% of the deal or whatever. So I know this is going to be a good deal. I want to get a larger percentage of the money coming out of it for the work I did. Now, that eventually led to me buying my own deals. That was the ultimate goal, was to have enough money to be able to buy enough real estate by myself that I didn't need partners. And I eventually, at some point when these deals came to fruition, weaned myself off of partners. And I didn't have partners. I ended up with, you know, going to a 10 units, 20 units, 30 units, 40 unit. And then I bought a 64 unit all by myself. Great story. When we have time to tell it, I've told it before, but I bought this thing for next to nothing. I paid a good price for it, but I figured out a way to get the down payment down low enough that I could afford to buy it by myself. And the guy that sold it to me, owner financed it to me, so I didn't have to go to the bank to qualify for a loan. He financed it. I then bought a 68 unit across the street from that, assumed the loan, so I didn't have to go to the bank and get a loan. And then down the street, I bought an 88 unit down the street, but by that time, I had so much real estate in my name that I had no problem getting a loan on that deal. So there it is. I got 3 properties, each earning me $15,000 a month, $45,000 a month, tax-free income, and I'm done. Now, I was done way back when I had the houses, by the way. I retired 2.5 years after I started buying this stuff, and I had bought quite a few houses with my friends and partners, as I would call them. But I retired. I quit the health club business. The point making is that I replaced my earned income with this passive income. You say, well, Dell, you're not passive once you got up to all of these houses. I go, no, I wasn't completely passive at that point. And that's the kind of the trick to step over. I was willing to do some work to get myself out of 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And the kind of an amount of work it took to operate these things was probably about an hour or two a day. I mean, there would be a day where I'd want to drive somewhere and look at something. Somebody moved out, I'd want to go put an eyeball on it. And the farthest away stuff was like Tomball and Texas City from me, which is an hour drive either direction. So it'd be a 2-hour visit to go out there and back, plus a meal, usually stop for lunch. And so we got 3 hours that day looking at some of our properties to see how, you know, they're faring, what they look like, and so forth. But eventually, I hired managers. And I had managers doing the day-to-day work, and I had maintenance guys doing the maintenance work. And pretty much, I was back down to an hour a day again. That's how I got there. When we come back from break, let's talk about what that means to you in this day and age. We'll be right back with the Dell Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Dell Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
How would a few $100s of passive income monthly change your life? Cover a car payment, a living expense, add a few more streams, and when all your expenses are covered, you're retired. What if you could do so in 5 years or less? Lifestyles Unlimited can show you how by investing in real estate, just like Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa.
So we started passively. It was on vacation is when we realized we really need to take the plunge and be more active in this. Just because I'm an educator, I wanted to really know what I was doing. So it was just education on my part is really big. And I'm like, well, I could do that.
Learn how, learn now with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. And join for just $297. That's a $443 saving off the regular price of our financial freedom program. That's 60% off the regular price. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. Take action today and get educated with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing what are the possibilities for you to retire in this day and age. And not from the conventional format, but from my format, which is the concept that I believe in is that retirement is not a pile of money. You have enough money, you can retire. Retirement is when you replace your earned income with passive streams of income to where you don't need to get up and go to work every day anymore. There's different ways to do real estate than my way of doing real estate. Mine is buy, renovate, maintain, hold, and rent, and live off the rental income and not off the asset. Then when the asset goes up in value, you either sell it and buy two or three more, or you refinance it, pull out the money, buy one or two more, or whatever you can afford. But the bottom line is you build your asset base is what I'm all about. And as I build that asset base and have been building it, now I'm much older. Somebody told me the other day, Del, stop telling everybody how old you are. That's pretty funny. I said, okay, I'll stop telling everybody how old I am. I don't know if it makes a difference. But the bottom line is that, hey, the reason I have a tremendous amount of money is because I've been doing this a tremendously long time. You're not going to get to where I am overnight. That would be very disingenuous for me to even make that seem that way. You're going to get where you're going to get, and it's going to be step by step by step. But every step of the way should be better than where you came from before. That's the important point, is that every step of the way should lead you to either having more side income, which allows you to save more money to build up even more side income, until you get to where you can replace your earned income, and then you have a choice. And the choice is, do you stay at your job or not? Now, here's another side of the story. Remember I told you all these doctors invested in me. Well, there are some people that have jobs that you don't want to quit. Hey, I went to college for 12 years to get this job. Why would I want to quit being a dentist? Why would I want to quit being a neurosurgeon? And the answer to those people, you don't. So now you're looking for places to put all this money you're making that's not as crazy as the stock market, right? So those people need to find somebody. And that's what happened at Lifestyles. At first, people were trying to invest their money with just anybody who came along. They weren't really looking. I said, no. You have to find somebody that's willing to, that has integrity, that's willing to do the work, willing to do it the right way. And what we found was is that it's not a really natural thing. So we started something called a white paper. And this was actually my members that started this, where they said, look, we're going to set up rules. And if you're going to be, by the way, in the real world now, it's called syndicators. Back then, we called them lead investors because that's what we called them. We didn't even do syndications. We were partnering together, and then later the partnerships got large enough, they were considered syndications. We weren't really just syndicating. We were just getting together. And so you would know the person you were getting in the deal with, and you would know their work ethic, and you'd watch everything they did, and you'd be able to see your asset. Completely different than just going out there and throwing money at the stock market or even into a blind solicitation of some type, you know, where somebody just says, hey, get in my deal. So as these syndicators do these blind syndications all over the country, you see the people were doing this and started doing this. And then everybody did classes on how to do it. Then everybody that didn't know what they're doing were teaching people that didn't know what they're doing, so that you had three or four levels of ignorance bred into the whole system. And boom, it blew up. It blew up 2 years ago. And people are looking back now going like, wow, I lost all my money. It's not fair. You guys all got rich. We got rich because we did it right. We got wealthy because we did it right for a long period of time. We didn't get in instantaneous, gratificationally diseased, midnight madness, lunacy that we could overnight get rich kind of theory. We didn't get in that way. We got in by doing the right thing and continuing to do the right thing on a larger scale. Now, if you're looking for that type of investment, then you're looking for Lifestyles Unlimited. If you're looking for, I can just blindly throw money at a syndication and think that I'm smart enough without any training at all to look at this syndicator, which I have no information about whatsoever, right? And watch him put this deal together, which I have no idea, in a place that I think is a good location, but I don't understand the terms, the financing, the way the deal's structured, and I don't understand the fact that the guy is taking fees and fees and fees. The one thing that we made right up front known was, hey, you can take your 25%, or you, now it's only 20 because the deals are much larger. You can take your 20%, but you can't take fees. There's no acquisition fee. There's no loan origination fee. I mean, the bank gets the loan origination fee, but I've seen people take it because I had to stand for the loan. I get a loan fee. Since I found the deal, I get a locating fee. All kinds of crazy stuff. I get a management fee and I get an asset management fee and on and on and on. I get a renovation fee and I get a distribution fee. And by the time they took all those fees, there's no return at all for the people within the deal. And really it gets down to like the stock market at some point. You own a stock and all of the income that's produced from the company goes to the people at the top, sucking gigantic multi-million dollar salaries out of the company and to jobs, which people get paid whatever the going wage is for jobs. Well, once you get to investing in real estate to that level, to where you're just hoping that the thing goes up in value, then at that point, you're doomed. And I've got an email here from somebody that did just that. In fact, see if I can find that email, because I think it really shows it. Okay, here we go. Here's the email. Well, how much time we got left? We've got a couple minutes in this segment is all we have. So let's start into this. Guy sends me this email, and he says, I got into this investment prior to Lifestyles Unlimited, which is a Class A new build that is right in the heart of a campus of University of Blank. It's a 100-unit multifamily building, triple net leases to both commercial buildings and also renting to the students. So it has two different types of income. The project got caught in overages and costs due to COVID, as well as didn't get finished on time, let alone getting leased up on time for the housing for the season. So it wasn't completed within season so the students could lease it up because, remember, in housing. So number one, one of the things I've told people a million times, don't do student housing. Guess what? Student housing doesn't work very well. It's a very dangerous investment, yet people do it. Second thing is that don't get into a new construction. New construction is very, very complicated, very risky. Too many things that could go wrong. We only had two or three people ever do new constructions here. There are people who have been at this for a very, very long time, have massive amount of experience. And even then, every single one of them, no, most of them have had issues come up where they just don't get come in on time. They don't complete on time. There's challenges because you go into something that takes 2 or 3 years to complete. The world, the market changes during that period of time. So new construction, did not complete on time, missed the opportunity to lease to the students. Oh, it's a student housing thing. Student housing, I've said no to. Every person in Lifestyles that's tried a student housing deal is out of Lifestyles now because every syndicator that did a student housing deal went broke. Student housing is the most difficult thing to do because the rules are all different. The clientele is crazy. And there's massive, massive competition. So in this particular deal, they went into the student housing and they messed it up. They didn't get it completed in time and they missed the rental season. So they lost a whole year's worth of income. Then this guy goes to the people and he's complaining that, you know, about this. And finally, the thing gets built and it gets leased up. And so he's thinking, okay, things are starting to look good, except for this problem. They've got a 3.5% interest rate loan that's a construction loan. And it's got to be paid off and refinanced. Well, interest rates are about 6% now, 5.8 or something like that. So to go from 3.5 to 5.8, the deals that made sense at 3.5 are not going to make sense at 5.8. And so this guy can see this is a train wreck coming to the end of the track. It's going to blow up. So he goes and complains again to the guy. Said, the guy says, fine, look, I'll buy you out. Said, okay, what will you buy me out for? He said, well, I'll buy you out on the standard takeout of 20% reduction in what you paid in. Well, the guy paid in $200,000 and of the date, Over the first two or three years, he's made $20,000, I think, on it, is what he said. So they're saying they'll pay him $160,000. So in other words, all of the profit that he's been paid so far is not considered profit. He's paid taxes on it. It's a return of the investment, not a return on the investment. So you see, they're scamming this guy. If you tell me the $20,000 that you paid me and said was our distributions, which is the return on our investment, and now you're telling me it's the return of my investment. So I put in 200, I got 20 in distributions, and so I should get 180 back, but now you're going to discount the 200 by 20,000, 10%. So you're going to give me $160,000. So there you go. Where does that say that in the deal? And really, most of these deals you can't get out of, so I'm sure that guy was probably just so happy to get rid of him, he'd buy him out. Now, remember, things full right now. So it's got to have more value than it did when it started. But they're not giving him any credit for any of that value, which I understand. I'm not saying anybody does, but I'm just telling you this is the problem. You're in here because you don't like the guy, and you know the deal's headed down the track to a train wreck, and you can't get out. The guy's asking me, should I get out? And then he talks about this takeover fee. No, he says, I want to deduct 20% is what it is. From the initial $200,000. So they have paid me $20,000 in distributions since I began, so they would pay me $160,000 for my $200,000 and 10-year investment. Okay, so what they're saying is he's taking 20% distribution, so I misstated that. 20% of $200,000 is $40,000, so they could give him $160,000 and back, and he's been distributed $20,000. So my statement of them not calling it wrong, calling that, I misstated that. So he's made 20, he's only going to get 160 back, so he's lost $20,000 in the whole deal. All right? Well, that's pretty typical in these syndications. I mean, that's not something abnormal. If you want out before the deal's done, somebody's got to buy you out. And why would somebody buy you out? Because they're buying your risk, right? Okay, it goes on and says, my thoughts are that this probably would be an okay investment if I lasted the entire 10 years. But the refinance part is what bothers me. That could really restrict cash flow depending on the macro environment at the time. Should I just do the takeout and grab the dollars and put it into another more attractive investment? Also, now that I understand these investments, I see all the extra fees these guys are charging that are not being charged at Lifestyles Unlimited. So this guy's a member, and he's saying, look, I'm seeing all these fees these guys are charging that don't get charged in the deals at home. So what he's saying, should I take the $20,000 loss and come back and get into Lifestyles deals? Really, in this particular case, I would look carefully at that refinance, because if you can look at the finances and see that you put that new interest rate on, that new loan on there with that higher interest rate, there may be no cash flow. In fact, it might not even cash flow at all, and it might be upside down. If it were that way, that there was going to be no cash flow and it might go upside down, I would get out. You see the train wreck coming. I used to say this all the time about real estate. If you go in the stock market, you wake up tomorrow morning, the stock market could have crashed 400 points before you even woke up, before you even paid attention. But a train, you can see it coming down the track. And this deal, you can see coming down the track. Well, I hope you learned something today. And remember always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.